Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we are grateful for the blessing of life that will bring us together in this place to worship thy holy name. And only Father, we do pray as thy word is about to be declared. May thou, Father, give utterance to this man, but Lord, give thy people a hearing heart, that each one will hear, thus says the Lord, and in obedience they will submit to thy will and thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. Though she was confined to a wheelchair most of her life, but her disability did not dampen her outlook on life. Her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was unwavering, and she became a prolific poet and hymn writer. Her name, you may know, was Jeanine Wilson. And in 1904, she wrote a hymn that was later set into music titled, Ode to God's Unchanging Hands. Today, this hymn has been immortalized in the annals of church hymnology. And the second stanza of this hymn goes something like this. Trust in him, we will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still closer, more to him cling. Then the chorus will go, hold to his hands, God's unchanging hands. You know, the message of the second stanza is unambiguous. Placing our trust in God is indispensable to our work of faith, which I am sure all of us here do believe. But you know what? There is a difference between what we believe to be true and how we live our daily life of faith. While all of us as Christians cognitively can concur with these words that it is of utmost importance to place our trust in God. But you know, when it comes to actualizing this cognitive affirmation, most of us struggle. We struggle in placing our trust in God's unchanging hands. And we find this very vivid in the fact that there is a disconnect when it comes to obedience. Because, you know, the struggle with obedience is actually the struggle with trust. If you and I truly trust God, trust his word, then obedience will be a no-brainer. But the reason we constantly disobey is because the word of God is not trusted. But what most of us fail to realize is that by not placing our trust in God, we are actually missing out on some profound spiritual blessings. Blessings that can truly transform our lives. And the prophet Jeremiah in the 17th chapter reminded us of this blessing. When he said in verse 7, he said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. For be like a tree planted by the water that extends its root by a stream, I will not be afraid when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. What I want to do this morning is very simple. I want to truly look at this text in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And I want to extract from these two verses what I call the profound blessing of placing our trust in God. Now, as a preamble, before I even go into this passage in Jeremiah, I think it's of importance that I put things in context. I want us to first understand what does it mean to trust in the Lord. Now, when you go and do a word study in the Bible, both in the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek, what you find is a fundamental idea conveyed when it comes to the notion of trust. It is actually the idea of reliance. In essence, according to the Bible, to trust in the Lord is to rely completely on the sufficiency of God in every area of our lives. Can I repeat that, loved ones? It is completely relying on the sufficiency of God in every area of our lives. To illustrate this definition, I want you to picture an infant, a baby who is or who, whether he or she, completely reliant on the parent for everything. And this is the general idea of what it means to trust in God, to completely rely on the sufficiency of God, that we don't compartmentalize our life. We don't say, God, okay, I'm relying on you on this area, but on this area, I'm not going to rely on you. No, it is the complete reliance on God. You know, and we can be sure that when we rely on God, it will come through. Because why? God is the only wise and powerful God. He is sovereign. That is why the Bible exalts us to completely put our trust in him. In other words, we don't doubt when he calls us to do some things, or we don't question when he tells us in his word to obey him in certain areas. But we must completely put our trust in him. But unfortunately, loved ones, for most of us, you know, trusting God is a struggle. Now, before I go to Jeremiah here, I need to take a pause here to kind of look at, you know, why do we often struggle when it comes to trusting in the Lord? Well, I think there are three key things here I want you to observe. The first reason I believe we struggle is because of fear. Now, fear always works against trust, because fear produces doubt, and doubt kind of suffocates trust. That is why a doubtful person will always struggle when it comes to trust. You know, if you doubt your spouse, your marriage will be riddled with distrust, right? And for many Christians, yes, cognitively, we believe in the promises of God. But the fear, our hearts are times fearful that we tend to question, you know, will God come through on his promise? And we begin to doubt the promises of God. And we know those things come into our mind. What if? What if I truly obey God in this area? What will be the outcome? What if I'm faithful in my giving? Will the Lord be able to supply all my needs? What if I show tough love to my child and stand upon the word of God? Will God be able to bring him or bring her back like the prodigal son? Or what if I begin to seek to live in holiness and tell my boyfriend that no longer am I going to anger with you, because I'm going to keep my body sanctified for God? Will God be faithful in his promise to honor my own commitment? You know, loved ones, that fear that many of us experience becomes an hindrance to trust. And loved ones, that is where the problem lies when it comes to trusting in the Lord. Our fear puts that restraint that we don't truly trust in God. The second thing is this, why we struggle with trusting God. It has to do with the love of our comfort zones. Again, loved ones, you want to observe this. It is the love of our comfort zone. We love our comfort zones. Now, our comfort zone is a place of security, a place where we feel safe, a place of familiarity. And we all love such a place because it is that place that offers us that quick, you know, that quick comfort, that intense comfort. We don't want nobody to kind of ruffle the net with my job. You know, I've been working in this good old government job for so many years. I love it over here. This is my comfort zone. But when we begin now to find that this comfort zone is kind of moved around, It becomes a risk to us. We are afraid, because our comfort zone is a place where we put our hope and our faith in. And at times, to trust God, you got to move out of your comfort zone. You got to move out of that comfort zone. And loved ones, in the story of the Lord Jesus Christ walking on water, which we find in Matthew chapter 14. And we're told that Jesus was walking around the third hour of the midnight, and the disciples were on the boat, and the storm was coming, and they saw Jesus. They thought it was a ghost, and Jesus told them, "You know what? I am him. Don't be afraid." And all the 12 were in the boat. But Peter asked the Lord, "If this be thee, command me to come out of this boat and walk on water." Now, I truly believe that all the guys on that boat, that was their comfort zone, right? They did not want to come out of that boat. Peter was bold enough to step out of that boat, and he walked on water. And loved ones, you see our comfort zones are a place of comfort, because the reason those other 11 could not come forth was because that was their comfort zone. That was the place of familiarity. That was the place of security. They don't want to take no risk. And loved ones, listen to me this morning. Trusting God requires that you and I move out of our comfort zones. Trusting God requires that we, by faith, step out of the boat and walk on water. But many of us struggle, because can we trust God to really sustain us when we come out of our comfort zones? Yes, it will sustain you. Now, the third reason is this: why many of us struggle to trust God. We struggle to trust God because of this thing called pride, that good old pride. You know, in both the fall of Satan, Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, and Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning at verse 11, and also the fall of man, there is a common denominator. And that common denominator was pride. You know, in the fall of Satan, he wanted to be like the Most High, and he failed. When he tempted then Eve, he wanted Eve to understand that she could be like God. You know, in both instances, the key thing was their pride. To try to be like God was to be prideful, to rely on their own strength and rely on their own ability. And both times they failed. And loved ones, again, this is it. You know, when you and I rely on our strength, and we rely on this thing called pride, and we believe that we don't need God, we struggle with trusting God. We struggle with trusting God. And I truly believe many of us are often self-reliant. You know, the reason God gave us the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit can help us. Because really, no one truly knows how to be a Christian unless with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who helps us to produce the fruit necessary to please God. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to overcome the lust of the flesh, but we must have to rely on him. But when we choose to be self-reliant, which is pride, we will struggle with trusting God. And I believe the reason many of us today are struggling with trusting God is because of self-reliance, is because of pride. And loved ones, when you are prideful, you will struggle when it comes to trust. So loved ones, this morning, let me flip the script. You know, let me now go to this prophecy by Jeremiah. Because what I want to do this morning is to unveil to you what you're missing when you don't put your trust in God. That when you don't put your trust in God, you're actually missing on profound spiritual blessings. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, I want you to go back to verse 5 for a minute in Jeremiah chapter 17. Because in verse 5, Jeremiah will say this. He said, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart turn away from the Lord. For it will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but it will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitants." So I want you to watch those two verses, verse 5 and verse 6. Jeremiah first said, listen, putting your trust in man is a danger zone. In other words, if you choose to put your trust in man, you won't see when prosperity is coming. You will spiritually dry up. That is spiritual paralysis. Then what it now does is that in verse 7 and verse 8, it now tells us of the blessings of putting our trust in the Lord. So what verse 7, it said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope or whose trust is in the Lord. And then it lists four things, four spiritual blessings of trusting in the Lord. So what are those spiritual blessings this morning? That is where I'm going to. The first spiritual blessing we can extract from verse 8 is this. You know, God's sustaining grace is released into our lives when we place our trust in God. I want you to watch what it says in the first part of verse 8. It said, for it will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its root by a stream. You know, I want you to watch a tree that is planted by water. That means that tree will constantly get unending supply of nutrient that is able to keep it strong and healthy regardless of the season. So this illustrative picture actually used by Jeremiah here is meant to signify the unending divine strength and encouragement that God pours into our life to enable us to persevere through challenges and remain faithful and continue to grow in our faith, even when we are facing seasons of desperate situation in our lives. Love, you see that? That is the sustaining grace of God. You know, what Jeremiah is trying to paint for us is simple. Is that, listen, when you put your trust in God, God's sustaining grace, that divine strength and perseverance and encouragement is released into your life, is released into you, that you are able to withstand whatever season come into your life. And when you go to Acts chapter 16, and you read about the story of Paul and Silas, you remember that story when they came to Philippi, and in Philippi, they rebuked this young lady that had this spirit of divination, a spirit that was more like a soothsaying spirit. And when they rebuked her, they were told that they were taken, and because the owner of that young lady knew that his means of profit was taken away, and he turned to Paul and Silas and began to bring them before the magistrate, and they were abused and beaten with many blows. Now, if you read that verses, it's just amazing. These two guys were beaten to the extent they were beaten with many blows. Then they were taken and put in prison and put and chained to the stock in the prison. Now, I want you to picture this. This man, all they were doing was coming into the city to share the good news, but you can see how they were mistreated and abused so badly. Now, you will expect Paul and Silas in that Philippian prison to be grumpy, right? To say, God, why me? To say, Lord, I'm serving you here and I've been mistreated. But watch what happens. Because we're told right about midnight, these two men, they began to pray and began to sing hymns. The question is this, where did they get the strength? In the midst of all they've been through, I believe the reason they could sing was because they trusted on the Lord. And the Lord poured into their lives at that very moment, at that very season, his sustaining grace, that the divine empowerment, the divine spirit of encouragement and perseverance was poured on Paul and Silas, that in spite of the situation they were in, they could still lift their voice and give God the praise. They could still pray. They could still shout in joy. And we're told that when they began to pray and sing hymns, God showed up because there was an earthquake and the chains were loosed. Love, once you see how when we put our trust in God, God is able to pour into your life that sustaining grace, the grace that keeps you steadfast in the midst of the changes of life. And I know this morning some of you might be facing those difficult times. Some of you might be facing those challenging times. But you need to understand this morning that when you place your faith in the sufficiency of God, God will release into your experience. It will release that empowerment, that spirit of encouragement and perseverance that you will be able to stand. And throughout church history, men and women of God, in spite of the persecution, they remained faithful to Jesus. The reason they did was because they trusted in God. And God poured into their lives the spirit of encouragement. And they became like a tree that stood by that water. Again, let's go back to Jeremiah this morning. And see the second blessing of trusting in God. Again, I want you to pay attention to this. Jeremiah will continue. I will not fear when the heat comes. Stop right there for a minute. Here is the second blessing of putting our faith or putting our trust in God. The stranglehold of fear is loosed when we put our trust in God. Again, I want you to understand this. You know, the grip, the stranglehold that fear has on our life is released and loosed when we put our trust in God. That's what Jeremiah is saying here. And loved ones, you know, one of the emotional stressors that often comes when we face life's adversity is fear. And like I said earlier, you know, when we face the challenges of life, we are fearful. We are fearful of what tomorrow holds. We are fearful that, you know what, am I going to be able to sustain myself tomorrow? Listen, economy is changing. Am I going to be able to make it through? And we come up with this, what if things come up? What if, and fear cripples us. But when we put our trust in God and we realize that no matter what is taking place in and around me, there is a God who is still sitting on the throne. There is a sovereign God who is all powerful. There is a sovereign God who can make a way out of no way. There is a sovereign God who still opens the Red Sea. A sovereign God who still send manna from heaven. A sovereign God who still can do impossible things, then your faith will grow stronger and your fear will diminish. And when you turn to Psalm 56, and here in Psalm 56, David himself facing a difficult situation, David being oppressed on every side, and David will now express to us around verse 3, he said, when I am afraid, he said, I will put my trust in thee, in God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere men do to me? That is Psalm 56, verse 3 and verse 4. Loved ones, what David is saying is what Jeremiah is reminding us here. That when we face all these challenges, we put our trust in God, fear loses its grip, fear loses its stronghold, fear releases us. And I know this morning some of you might be struggling with fear, but remember this, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power of love and of a sound mind. You need to understand that there is no fear where there is faith, because faith and fear are opposite of one another. But when you put your trust in God, that means your faith is dealt down deep and anchored in Jesus. No matter what takes place, you'll make it through. That, loved ones, is the spiritual blessing of putting our trust in God, fear loses its power. Now, I want you to watch the third thing here. The third blessing here from Jeremiah's writing in Jeremiah 17. I want you to watch verse 8 again. It said, it will not be anxious in the year of drought. Here is the third blessing of putting your trust in God. You know, the power of anxiety is deactivated when we place our trust in God. Again, watch that. The power of anxiety is deactivated when we place our trust in God. You know, just as fear comes, anxiety is an emotional stressor. Anxiety is when you begin to worry about so many things, right? And you become anxious about your life, about what you should eat, what you should put on. You know, those anxious moments come into our experience. And those anxious moments make us to look and say, will God still be faithful? Is God still around? Will God still hear my cry? But loved ones, listen, when you put your trust in God, God now releases into your life something called peace. And that peace deactivates anxiety. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning, loved ones. When you put your trust in God, God not only gives us sustaining grace, but it releases his peace. And that peace ultimately deactivates anxiety. That is why the Apostle Paul will remind us in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. He said, be anxious for nothing. No, Apostle is not trying to take that there's no reality of God. He said, you know what, you got to compare to the power of God. You know, be anxious for nothing, said the Apostle Paul. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace, watch that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see the loved ones? That is the answer, loved ones. You know, when you put your trust in God, and in the midst of life's challenges, that anxiety begin to come in and you begin to feel worried and feel unsettled, but you put your trust in God and you pray, God releases his peace. That peace that surpasses all human comprehension. That peace that makes you smile when everybody's weeping. That peace that makes you look joyful when everybody feels so melancholy, because you know your Redeemer lives. You understand that in everything, God is more than able. You understand that I won't be anxious because I know even in that fiery furnace, there is a person, a son of the gods that are in there with me in that furnace. You know, loved ones, God will never leave you, will never forsake you. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can be rest assured that his rod and his staff will comfort you. Loved ones, listen to me. When you put your trust in God, anxiety is deactivated, because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding becomes your strength. This is the final thing here. I want you to go back again to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. Jeremiah now says, in concluding, nor cease to yield fruit. This is the fourth spiritual blessing of placing your trust in God. You will become the aroma of Christ when you place your trust in God. Again, watch what I just said. You will become the aroma of Christ when you put your trust in God. You know, loved ones, listen. All of us here are actually aromas of Christ. We are, because we're told that we are aromas that we bring fragrance. We bring this beautiful smell of God's glory everywhere we go. But listen, when you put your trust in God and people begin to see how How you stand strong, how steadfast your faith is, how true your commitment is, how you walk in integrity, how you walk in uprightness, how you let compassion flow through you and love flow through you, and you put your trust in God because you're obedient to His word. You become the aroma of Christ that everywhere you go without even preaching, everywhere you go without even sharing the gospel, people understand that there is something different about this person. They understand that there is something different, and whatever that is begins to draw them to Jesus, and you begin to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That is the key to the aroma of Christ. You bear fruit for the kingdom of God, that as you begin to live your life of obedience, men and women begin to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your light shines, your soul tastes, and they glorify your Father was in heaven, because you put your trust in God and you've become the aroma of Jesus. Loved ones, you've become the aroma of Jesus. And loved ones, everywhere you go, God calls us to be His aroma. Everywhere we go, God calls us to live a life of distinction, because we've put our trust in Him and we obey His word. Then we will not cease from bearing fruit. We will not cease from pointing men and women to the cross. That is what it means to bear fruit. But before bearing fruit, the aroma has to smell. Let the aroma of Christ smell through your life, through your commitment to his truth, through your surrendering to His will, and placing your total, complete trust in God. Loved ones, this morning, don't miss out on your blessing. There's a great blessing to placing our trust in God. Place your trust in the God who is able to do all things. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we honor Thee and we thank Thee for the blessing that was so richly bestowed upon us here, that Thou hast brought us together here to come to study, to look deep into Thy word, to understand both Thy will and Thy way. Holy Father, may Thou not take glory, as Thy word today has been declared. Bless both the declaration as well as the reception of Thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.